are able for the gospel. Our holy gospel today comes from the book of St. Mark, the 6th chapter, beginning with the 30th verse. The apostles gathered around Jesus and told him all that they had done and taught. He said to them, "Come away to a deserted place all by yourselves and rest a while." For many were coming and going, and they had no leisure even to eat. And they went away in a boat to a deserted place by themselves. Now many saw them going and recognized them, and they hurried there on foot from all the towns and arrived ahead of them. As he went ashore, he saw a great crowd, and he had compassion for them, because they were like sheep without a shepherd. And he began to teach them many things. When they had crossed over, they came to land at Gennesaret and moored the boat. When they got out of the boat, people at once recognized him and rushed about that whole region and began to bring the sick on mats to wherever they heard he was. And wherever he went, into villages or cities or farms, they laid the sick in the marketplaces and begged him that they might touch even the fringe of his cloak. And all who touched it were healed. The Gospel of the Lord. You may be seated. My dearest siblings, grace and peace to you from God, our holy Creator, and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. I want you to think in your minds real quick. When you hear the word holy, what do you think that means? Just think about that for a second in your head. If you had to define the word holy, what would you come up with? Now, for most people, when they think of the word holy, they think of special, pure, sanctified, of God, something around those lines. But when we look at the word holy in the Bible, and when we look at its Hebrew word, the original Hebrew in which it was written, it's the word kadosh. And kadosh, literally translated, means to be separate or distinct. Has nothing to do with purity, has nothing to do with being sanctified, has nothing to do with being morally upright or anything like that. It simply means to be separate or distinct. Now think about that. 3,500 years ago, you have this up-and-coming tribe surrounded by hundreds of other tribes. And suddenly they are asked to be separate and distinct. And from that, these laws are born, 612 of them to be precise. And everything about these laws and customs were characteristics to allow them to be separate and distinct in the midst of all of these other cultures and tribes around them. Now, fast forward about 1,500 years. In the time of Jesus, imagine being a Jewish person growing up knowing this about your people's history. Everything about your identity as a Jewish person is to be separate and distinct from all of the other cultures around you. That's how you were raised. That's what you were raised to believe. That is built up by centuries and centuries and centuries of history, knowing this is who you are called to be as the holy chosen people of God, to be separate and distinct. So much so, you weren't even allowed to congregate or step into the home of someone who did not abide by those customs. I mean, we're talking about stuff that was really, really built in to your psyche. You are separate and distinct from all else around you. Now then imagine that this new movement starts to take place, and these new people start joining it. People who were not raised with this same idea. People who did not come from this same culture. People who do not follow these same customs as you do. And suddenly, You're meant to start a church together. Do you think that would be tough? I think that would be like an Irish person joining the Danish Brotherhood or Sisterhood. And then saying, we need to start doing some more Irish stuff in the Danish Brotherhood and Sisterhood here. There might be some conflict with that, right? Well, that's kind of what's going on in our story here today. Well, not our gospel story, but in this letter to the church in Ephesus. Now, most people think Paul wrote the letter to the church in Ephesus, but most scholars believe it was actually his followers who did it. But regardless, it would have been something that had come from Paul's teachings. And so here you have this whole new church started by a bunch of culturally Jewish people and all of these non-Jewish people who the Bible calls Gentiles want to join in. Only they don't want to be circumcised. They don't want to follow the 612 rules that the Jewish people had. They wanted to come as they were to be part of this new movement. When Jesus was traveling around the world, the 12 men that he called to his side were all Jews. And when he started preaching and healing, the people that most of those actions were directed at were also Jewish people. And then when Jesus ascended up into heaven and told his followers, you are now going to be the ones to go and spread this gospel throughout the land, the very first people that they started spreading this gospel to were Jewish people. And when they started talking about this Messiah that their Jewish texts had prophesied about, they were coming from a Jewish place of mind. And they were still following all of the Jewish customs of this time. Right in the very beginning, this was a Jewish movement. But they realized that it was a movement that could not be contained within their own customs and cultures. It was a movement that they were called to spread to the very ends of the earth, to non-Jewish people. And as more non-Jewish people started joining them, tons and tons of conflict arose. But not just that. Historically, and we know this now, the Julius Caesar created an edict with the Jewish people. You see, Jews, because they had 612 rules, they were pretty good at following those rules. And they were pretty good at not stepping out of line and not causing any chaos or conflict with the empire. And so Julius Caesar said that they did not have to participate in the worship of the Roman emperor. They were exempt from this rule. Everybody else had to worship the emperor except the Jewish people. And they really liked that because it was important to them to follow this one God. Then all these Gentiles start joining. All of these people who don't have those 612 rules. All of those people who tend to look and act like everyone else who is supposed to be worshiping the emperor. And so now these Jewish folks start getting a little nervous. We might lose our exempt status. There could be a lot of consequences if the now current emperor takes this away and we have to start worshiping him. We don't want to do that. And so they were very nervous with all of these new people joining their ranks. And again, you can imagine there was a lot of conflict going on. A lot of conflict about what do Gentiles need to do to become part of our group? What kind of things should we allow them to get away with? Conflict and conflict and conflict ensued. And then Paul's followers wrote this letter to one particular church in Ephesus, one church that was going through this kind of conflict, trying to understand who they were in the midst of this brand new movement that was happening. And this letter was meant to create unity between these different cultures suddenly coming together. And it was meant to do it by recognizing Christ's action in the cross. that these people of different cultures and customs and histories can come together, yet for those two separate groups, right in the middle of that is the cross of Christ. Right in the middle of that is the action of Jesus on the cross, an action of love and sacrifice, not just for Jewish people, not just for these people following this particular custom with this particular story, but for every single person in the world. And if this one action can be for all people, then can't we come together in Christ's love? Can't we experience peace and come together under the mission of sharing this love with those around us? You know, there are moments when I look around our world and I am blown away at how diverse we are. I look at people of other cultures and customs from my own. People who dress differently than me. People who speak differently than me. People who worship differently than me. People who dance differently than me. Who listen to different kind of music. And I am blown away at the diversity in this world. And what happens is I have to take a step back and think, my God, created so much beauty in just the people who walk this earth. It's incredible to think of all of the different ways we look and the different ways we act, the different ways we celebrate life, the diversity that is all around us. It is astounding and beautiful, and at times it takes my breath away. But sometimes we can allow this diversity to become cause for division. Worst case scenario, it's intentional and direct. Best case scenario, we don't realize it's happening. But at times it does. When I first started here at Bethania, the paper got in touch with me and said they wanted to do a story on this new pastor, especially this young guy that was starting here in the valley. And it was done on the phone. Lady didn't know me by any means, and so she asked, "Are you Danish?" I said, "No." She said, "Well, do you speak Danish?" I said, "No." "Well, what are you doing there?" I said, "What do you mean, what am I doing here? I'm the pastor of this church now. I'm here to shepherd these people. I'm here to have us come together and be God's light and love for this community." She said, "But I thought you had to be Danish to be part of that church." I said, "No." And I know that we haven't intentionally done anything to make that known to people, that you have to be Danish to come to Bethania, but at some point, at least for this woman, it was in her head that you had to have these very specific characteristics to come to this church. And so sometimes indirectly, these diverse characteristics can become cause for division. But I imagine we see this in other facets of our lives too. We tend to separate ourselves, sometimes condemn or demonize people who look differently than we do, people who sound differently than we do, people who worship differently than we do, people who vote differently than we do, people who have different socioeconomic statuses than we do. At times, we've gotten to a place in our world where we have confused homogeneity with security and diversity with fear. These first communities experienced that too, and that's what we read in this letter to the Ephesians. And I'll tell you right now, for them, that diversity was brought together through the cross of Christ. And it goes so much deeper than that, right? There's something within our own humanity, something that exists deeply within us, regardless of how we sound, regardless of how we look, regardless of who we worship. There's something deep inside of us, every single one of us, that yearns to be loved, to be validated, to be affirmed, to be told that you are worth something. And that is the cross. That is Christ's ever-abiding love in our lives. Christ shows us that part of ourselves that is divine. And when we can experience that ever-present, unconditional, eternal love, that divine spark, when we can experience that, then we can see that divine peace in every single person around us. Back in 1997, there was a World Summit for Children, and children from all over the globe gathered at this summit to talk about their own shared humanity, regardless of how they looked, regardless of how they spoke, regardless of who they worshiped. There was one girl who submitted a poem to this summit, and she won, and so she was able to go up and stand in front of thousands of people, and this is what she shared. Her name was Amy Maddox. She was 16 years at the time. She said, "When he prayed, it wasn't my religion. When he ate, it wasn't what I ate. When he spoke, it wasn't my language. When he dressed, it wasn't what I wore. And when he took my hand, it wasn't the color of mine. But when he laughed, it was how I laughed. And when he cried, it was how I cried." We forget how connected we are as human beings. We fall back on these things that we can use to separate ourselves, but we forget how connected we are. Every single person in this world, regardless of how they look, regardless of how they sound, regardless of who they worship, regardless of who they voted for, regardless of who they love, every single person in this world simply wants to be safe, simply wants to be loved, simply wants to know that their families are going to be taken care of. People all over the world just want these little spaces to experience some joy, some laughter, some humanity. And for us, that's Christ. That is that peace that tells us we are loved, that tells us we have worth. And it is that peace right there that can empower and enable us to then go out into the world and share that this is for everyone. That God loves everyone. That the cross of Christ is for everyone. If we can experience that, then maybe we can see that we are all one body under him. Amen. Please stand as you are able.